Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Transformation Begins With You. Hi, I'm your host, Chris Meadows, and I'm so excited that you're with us this evening. And this is a live show from Indianapolis, Indiana, and it's hosted and sponsored by Harvest Girls International. Harvest Girls International is a local women's empowerment organization here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we empower women with the power to dream. We empower young girls. And we're just excited to have you with us tonight. We have a special guest on tonight, and I'm really excited about it. We have Dr. Jewel Diamond Taylor with us today. The self-esteem doctor herself is in the house. Yes, she's here live and in person, and we're going to get with her in just a moment. But I just want to talk to you a little bit. We're going to spend an evening with Dr. Taylor, just talk with her a little bit. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit first before I bring her on and just kind of get you to settle down and to snuggle in and to just relax. And if you're just listening or just getting on, we want to give you a chance to settle down. But this is an amazing time in the life of women. I am so excited about women and what's going on in the life of women. But we always talk about the exciting times in the life of women. And tonight, I just kind of want to talk about a little bit about some of the things that women go through as we have relationships one with another. Sometimes those relationships are a little rocky between women. And so while I have Dr. Jewel Diamond Taylor with us tonight, I'm going to talk to her a little bit about that. But I'm going to get ready to bring her on. And I'm so excited. I just want to introduce her out of my heart and out of my spirit tonight. Dr. Taylor is an awesome self-esteem doctor. I often give my testimony that Dr. Taylor was one of the people in my life that when I was at my lowest point, I heard a word from her, and she said, "You are too blessed to be stressed." And I took that, and I ran with it. I started to purchase her materials. I tapped into her website, and I've been blessed ever since. And as I grew in my organization, Harvest Girls International, I came back in contact with Dr. Taylor, and she received me with open arms, and that's just the way she is. Her spirit is authentic. It's awesome, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful time to know her and to bring her to Indianapolis. She's going to be coming to Indianapolis for Mother's Day weekend, May 7th and 8th, and ladies, you do not want to miss it. In conjunction with Light of the World Christian Church, Harvest Girls International is hosting a wonderful women's conference. And so I'm really excited about that. So, Dr. Jewel, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am, Chris. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your audience. I, too, am very excited about returning to beautiful Light of the World in Indianapolis and to collaborate with you and the Harvest Girls. This is a very critical time for women. And I'm just want to be on assignment, and I'm just praising God for what he's going to do through all of us the weekend of Mother's Day.
Yes, that is going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. I know that you're bringing some of your sister friends with you, Dr. Ilan Bamani from Texas and Kathy Holloway Hill from Kentucky. And so the three of you are in Indianapolis doing Motherhood, Money, and Men for Harvest Girls International and Light of the World Christian Church as we sponsored an event back in October. And so the women were so excited. They felt they didn't get enough, and they wanted to be filled again. And so that is why we're bringing you back, because they're so excited to just hear more, receive more from you.
Yes, it was a wonderful experience. And we experienced the overflow of the love and the opening up of hearts and the dynamic questions and women just feeling connected and empowered and encouraged. And it just takes a few drops of love and encouragement and fellowship and praise and worship just to renew our spirits. And so many women are doing so much, not to discount men, because there are awesome men out there doing great things too. But our particular focus and our particular assignment is to empower the women, because when you bless them and encourage them, then they can be better wives, mothers, entrepreneurs, better servants for the Lord. But we have to put ourselves, we have to position ourselves so that we're lined up with the Word of God and lined up with people that can pour into us, so that we can just, you know, bounce back and get back on track and go forth doing the things that we need to do. And I just hope that everyone that is listening tonight is going to call someone, email someone, and let them know that we're coming the Mother's Day weekend, and that we're going to pack the house, and God is going to do some great things through all of us. We've all been praying up for this wonderful encounter, and we're so grateful to Bishop Benjamin for just opening up his heart and opening up the doors of Light of the World to receive us.
Yes, and I don't want to forget to mention that Bishop T. Gary Benjamin Jr. will also be speaking at the conference on Saturday morning, speaking for women only. And so we don't want to miss that, because we're going to have Bishop Benjamin come in and speak to the women and touch our hearts for women only, from his heart to ours. And we just want to be prepared for that. I wanted to do this show tonight so that I could prepare the women's hearts for what we are about to receive next weekend, next Friday, and next Saturday. We're just going to have an awesome time. So, Dr. Taylor, I just wanted to ask you some questions that have been pressing on me for a while. And
sure.
I know these are questions that I get a lot from women. They ask these questions, and sometimes I really don't think that I articulate the answer very well. But I want you to tell the audience today that, you know, this thing that we have as women, we come together and we say we love each other, and we're lovey-dovey while we're in the place, in the empowerment workshop. But sometimes we women are our worst enemies. Can you help us with that? Because when we leave the place, sometimes we stay okay for a day or two. And I know there's layers and issues and things that we all have that we have to deal with. But can you just give us some points of view that can help us go a little bit longer than just the day of the conference?
Yes. Well, what you're talking about is definitely true. We're not in denial about that, that there are a lot of wounded women, a lot of women who don't trust other women, a lot of women who experience a breakthrough in the love of Christ in the presence of the conference. But then when they leave, they go back to their old habits. And that's why we emphasize that it's only through repetition of the materials that we present, it's only through coming back again to the well and coming back again to the well that we begin to change our habits, because we're all creatures of habits. And if we've been wounded, if we have not had good experiences with other women, women can, you know, I find that their tongues is like a weapon. Their words are like a weapon. And you know, we can cut each other with our words. And I think all it is just because so many other issues have not been addressed, that sometimes we are each other's closest target. You know, I deal with so many women, Chris, that are in domestic abuse, and you would never know it. And so sometimes the mean spirit that comes out, or the sadness that we see, or the jealousy that we see, is nothing but a symptom of other things that are going on. And that's why I'm so happy that people like that, like Bishop Benjamin, are allowing me to have the opportunity to speak into women's lives about emotional fitness. Because when you're not even aware that you've got some problems that have been unresolved, and now you're taking it out on other people or your children, or you're not performing well on your job. And I was very blessed to have a good relationships with my mom and my sisters, and I never had a lot of toxic or bad relationships with women. So I love helping women to understand the importance of bonding and learning to love and respect and connect and support, and to watch your tongue and to watch your body language, and to understand the importance of us connecting on so many different levels. Because so many women are struggling parenting their children, or trying to build their business, or to get clean and sober, or to get closer to God, but yet they're doing it by themselves and not realizing this is not about competition. It's about collaboration. And that's why I respect you so much, Chris, and that's why I'm so glad that you are my fan club president there in Indianapolis, because you are, you know, you and I understand the importance of collaboration. It's not about competing or jealousy. We all bring something different to the table. And God's word says that we all have different gifts. But when women have been put down and diminished and hurt by men and hurt by women and hurt by even the church, hurt in the family, it shows up sooner or later in how we interact with one another. And we just don't want to glaze over it and not pretend that it's not there. We have to learn how to address those issues. And that's why retreats and having more than just an hour keynote can really break some of those barriers down. When you give women a chance to be heard, and they're going to have a chance to be heard when we come there Mother's Day weekend. It's not about just me teaching or Dr. Elon just teaching or Kathy just teaching or Bishop. We are going to create a loving atmosphere. We're going to have Q&A. We're going to have a chance to hug and laugh and cry and praise the Lord. They're going to have a chance to ask things that maybe they just never had the safety or the opportunity to bring to the table and say, you know what, I've got a child in prison. There was a lady in my church last weekend, and she's the one that always welcomes new members and gives them the right hand of fellowship. She's the one that's always smiling and has such a happy spirit. And her son walked into the church, and her son and his wife joined the church. And this sister just almost fell out, because this is a son who had been troubled, had been in prison. They had had a strained relationship. And she was so happy that her son and his wife joined the church. And our pastor said, I did not even know you had a son. See, she had kept it a secret.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have issues that the devil allows us to get caught up in our shame, allows us to get caught up in guilt. And then it comes out in such ugly ways in the way we interact with each other. But when you know that you are enough in God, when you know that you are God's child, that he loves us all the same, that he gives us all the same love and the same opportunity to grow in him. There is, you know, because then we can carry ourselves differently. I remember when I was carrying my second child, I kept thinking to myself, how in the world could I possibly love another child as much as I love my first child? I remember thinking that so vividly, Chris. And then here comes my second son, and I love him just as much, if not more. So if I can do that, just imagine what God can do.
Yes.
You know, but so many women have not felt the love. They have not felt the love from a husband or from a parent or from a child or from another girlfriend, or they've been hurt or wounded or betrayed. And so they have never had an opportunity to heal those wounds or to understand how it is sabotaging and undermining their destiny. And when you can begin to connect the dots and say, oh, now I see how this is hurting me and how it's repelling relationships and it's pushing away my blessings, sometimes we just need to have that type of a diagnosis. And that's what I help women to do, is to get emotionally and spiritually healthy.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And I know for me, that was one of the places that I had to get. I was not emotionally healthy. And because I wasn't healthy emotionally, I thought everybody was looking at me. Everybody was talking about me. I thought when I walked in a room that I felt all the negative energy, and I didn't realize the negative energy was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that in the room with me when I came, and it was me. And so when I started to change and to turn and my thinking started to change, I started to see women very differently, because I started to see myself in a different way. And my prayer was, God, let me see them the way that you see them. Because I didn't want to suggest. So many times with women, we tend to do that. I mean, I remember so well walking in a room, and before anybody says hello, they look you up and down. And I used to get so offended by that. But now, I know that it's not me. And if it is me, I want to do something about it. So when we get to the place on Saturday, we get to Light of the World Christian Church on Friday and Saturday, And we want positive energy in the room. And we know that there's going to be positive energy in the room. But we want to keep that positive energy going in our lives. And so how do we turn around, Dr. Jewel, how do we turn around our relationship as women, one with the other? I heard you say some things, but how do we really start to work on that from scratch?
Well, you just said it, Chris. You acknowledge it in yourself. You were able to honestly say, oh, it's me. It's not them. And that's hard for a lot of people to swallow to swallow their pride and take those walls down, because a lot of women think that if I let my guard down, I'm now vulnerable. So it is, as Bishop Benjamin says in his book, and as I say in my books, and as the Bible says, you have to be transformed only by changing your mind. You have to think differently. It's as simple as that. And when you begin to see the difference of thinking differently about yourself, not putting yourself down. See, if you don't love your size 18, if you don't like, if you don't love your double D bra, if you don't love your bald head from chemotherapy, if you don't love your hair, if you don't love where you live, you're going to project that onto other people.
Absolutely.
And so it all begins with learning to say to yourself, oh, I get it, it's me. I did that in my 40-year marriage. For so many years, you know, I was blaming my husband for my lack of joy, and I thought he was getting in my way of my ministry, and I just thought it was him. And, you know, I had to stop and say, you know what, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I need to look at myself. I need to look at my self-esteem and my courage and my self-worth, and I need to look at how I'm sabotaging myself. It is very easy. It is a mental shortcut for us to blame everybody else, or to blame the devil, or to blame parents. And that's what we tend to do. We take mental shortcuts because it's very hard for us to admit that we've been in our own way. And so what I try to do is just bring forth a message and create an atmosphere where it makes it easy for people to let their guard down and to stop fighting it. And then what I remind people is that when you are in church or you're at work or you're in the grocery store, everybody you look at, say these two things. That is a child of God, and that person's fighting a battle. We don't know what it is. Everybody is fighting some type of battle. And when you are able to say that about people, it creates more compassion, it creates more patience, you become more Christ-like. And that is the goal, is for us to be more Christ-like. And that means we have to stop judging each other so much. Yeah. And where does that judgment come from? It comes from our own insecurities.
Absolutely.
Either we feel too old or too fat or too this or too that, or somebody told us that we talk too much, or somebody said we think we cute, or somebody said you're too black, or and so we took those messages to heart, and it was a wound, and that wound just begins to just deepen and deepen and deepen and cut into us, to the point we never healed it. We never spoke truth to ourselves. We're not even able to receive the gospel. You know, we come to church and we're excited and we love the music and we love the message and we love the praise and we love dressing up. But the real work is, what do we do, as you said, Chris? The real work begins when we leave the church. It even begins in the parking lot. It begins in the parking lot. It begins in the restroom at the church. You know, speaking to each other, just a simple smile, a simple hug, or asking someone, how are you doing, and waiting to hear the answer. I was in a store earlier today. As you know, I'm out of town right now preparing to speak for another event, and I was in the store making a purchase, and I could tell that the young lady was tired, overwhelmed, overworked, and people were impatient and people were rude. And when I finally got up to her, when I got up to make my purchase, I said, and how are you today? And she looked at me. She said, thank you for asking. And it's just a simple, kind things that we could do for each other that can help us and heal us and soften those hard places and soften those rough edges that I think sometimes as women we become hard and we become mean because we've been so hurt, or we're just tired. we're running a household, we're going to school, we're raising our kids, you're taking care of elders, you're taking care of grandparents, you're on this committee, that committee, you're going to church, you're going to school, you're going to work, and then you come home and you're tired because you feel like nobody's helping you or you feel like everything is against you, when the reality is maybe you could be using your time smarter. Maybe you're not delegating. Maybe you're need to please other people has you saying yes to everybody, and so now you become mean and snappy and resentful when nobody empowered you to say, you know what, let's look at your schedule, let's look at why you need to say yes to everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that. As you know, there are a lot of women in the church that are doing so much, but then they grumble and they're resentful. Then why are you doing it?
Absolutely. And you know, sometimes I look at myself and I just began saying no, to myself sternly just this year. I would say no, but I didn't mean no, and I felt bad when I said no. But just in 2010, I just decided to say no to things that I knew were going to either stress me out or take me to a realm that I did not want to be, and I said no. And what I started doing, because I did not spend enough time with myself and I started neglecting myself, I started not liking the way that I looked. I didn't like the way that I felt. So I changed my mind about me. And when I changed my mind about me, I started to do some things for myself. So now I am proud to say I walk 3 miles, 3 times a week. And that is my time that I spend just taking my time walking on the trail and thinking about my day or my week. And I just started changing the way that I was thinking about myself. And when I changed the way I started thinking about myself, it affected how I treated people. I was a lot sweeter when I started spending more time with me and taking time with myself, sitting in that bubble bath and not rushing a bath, just sitting there and just resting and relaxing and putting some music on and even a candle or two and just taking time for me. It literally changed my spirit and started meditating more on positive things. And I'm really starting to get excited about me all over again.
That's exciting for you. And that is a very good example of how a little change can make a big change. You see, as women, we are so emotional on so many levels that we need to understand that when we feel better, we do better.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And it's different with men. Men have to do better before they feel better. They got to accomplish something, make something happen, win something, make something money. They got to do something before they can say, okay, now I feel good about myself. But with women, if we feel better about ourselves, if we feel better about what we're doing, then we do better.
Yeah.
And a lot of women are just not in touch with, if you were to ask them, what is it that you need to do to feel better? They couldn't tell you. If you were to ask a woman, if you had spare time, what would you do? They couldn't tell you because they're so busy giving a piece of themselves to everybody else. And if they're not giving a piece of themselves to everybody else, they're keeping everything to themselves and they're shutting down and they're isolating and nobody is benefiting from their love or their service because they're doing the exact extreme opposite. They're not, no one's getting to enjoy them or love them or serve them or see them because they are invisible and they're shutting down and they've got a wall up that says you can't come in. There's so many women that will not let you in because of past experiences, and love is a risk. I remember reading that book years ago, Love is a Risk, and I thought when I first read it, what does that mean? But you take the risk that when you open up your heart, you give someone a smile, you help someone, you take the risk of them not loving you back. You take the risk of them not saying thank you. You take the risk of not getting credit. And can you still be loving? And that is being more Christ-like when you can still take the high road.
Yes, absolutely. And I made a Facebook status, and it's so true when you're saying about love, is I made a Facebook status that said, I'm not afraid of love because I'm in love under new management. and that management mm-hmm. is Christ.
Yes.
And so that was something that was true to me because I had a wall up, and I wouldn't let people in. And
yes.
I not approachable. I was not mean, but I just had everybody knew, you know, she just doesn't look like the kind you could go up and just be, you know, too friendly with.
Yes.
But I had a wall up. But I decided, I said, I gotta do this thing differently because I want to love me first before I can try to spread love around to anybody else. And so I feel the difference in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind. I feel the difference just by doing those things you just said and spending more time with my girlfriends, good girlfriends, girlfriends with good positive energy.
Yes.
And good positive speaking. And I started to spend more time with them because I didn't even have time to say, let's grab a salad. Oh, no, I got to do this. I got to do that. And so I just said one day, yes, I'm going to do it. And I sat there. We sat there probably 3 hours laughing, talking, relaxing. And everybody, you know, drove themselves to the car and went home and went to bed. We were so relaxed. And so those are
right.
the things sometimes. It doesn't take a lot of money to do, but it does take time. And I want to be able to give myself the time to get to know me, to get to know my sister friends, and to just spread some of that love around to other women.
Well, I'm going to be bringing, when I come next weekend, I'm bringing one of my books called Sister Friends. And I
yes.
wrote that book because I realized that having a friend is an art. It's a skill. And I began
yes.
to realize that not every woman knows how to be a sister friend. I call a lot of women while I'm traveling. I'm in Michigan right now, and next week I'll be in Cleveland and then Indianapolis, and then I'll be in Kansas City. And I just got back from Colorado and Virginia and North Carolina.
Oh,
and
goodness.
I'll call my friends, and they'll say, oh, Jewel, you know, I was going to call you, but I thought you'd be busy. I said, if I'm ever too busy for you, then that's just too darn busy. It only takes a few minutes to say, how you doing? I love you, thinking about you, how's the family? You know, to have a laugh, to share something. It does so much for our emotional and spiritual wellness to laugh, to cry,
yes.
to share,
yes.
to have human contact. And this world is so high tech and low touch that people
yes.
are wondering why people are edgy and irritable because everything is technology and fast and hurry up and, you know, and we're losing our humanity and our spirituality because we're letting technology and our busy schedules dominate and control us and consume us. And so to be a sister friend, it is a skill. It is you have to make that person a priority just like you do your husband or your child or your job. You know, if you want some balance and you want to have some sanity, I believe, now this is just me, I just simply believe that having good girlfriends, good sister friends in your life is a good gift from God. And my sister friends bring me so much joy, and they ground me and they center me and they make me laugh and they make me realize how blessed I am, and they make me realize they help me put things back into perspective when I've gone way out in left field, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
we're almost out of time. We're just going so good here. But I just want to give the ladies a little teaser tonight. I want them to go to www.harvestgirls.webs.com and register for the conference. It's May 7th and May 8th. That is next Friday and Saturday, and the conference is A Time of Refreshing, A Time of Refreshing. And that's www.harvestgirls.web.com. Dr. Jewel Diamond Taylor, Dr. Yolande Bomani, and Kathy Holloway-Hill are our guest facilitators. And we're so excited to have them in the city of Indianapolis. And until next time, I want to say transformation begins with you. Have a blessed and wonderful week. Bye-bye.